You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. I mean, I say it every week because I'm always thinking somebody brand new is going to say, well, who is this lady? Who is she? What does she do? Anyways, I got to have a few things to remind everybody of. Of course, mysticlivingtoday.com, the e-zine. It's been around since 1999. Can you believe that? Long time. And it's one of my loves that I do once a month, and pretty soon I'll be sending out notices. I usually start to send them out on the 20th of the month for the next issue, and I've already got a bunch of stuff. I say this every week. I mean, every issue is bigger and bigger, but that's a nice thing. That makes me feel really good because everybody knows I love the magazine. Then, of course, I want to tell you about Stars with a Z, psychics.com. We have a special for first-time clients, 3 free minutes. That's free. You don't pay for anything. And then we have special rates that you can use after that if you'd like. So we have that running. That'll be ongoing. The site just reached its 9th birthday on the 12th. And happy birthday, Stars. Yes, 9 years already. I've been doing this show. I'd have to ask Candy, who's in the chat room. She knows all of these little things here. Let's see. I think it's 8 years, if I'm not mistaken. Lots and lots of years and lots of experience with Blog Talk Radio. And you can also go to our YouTube, which is Stars with a Z Psychics. Check out all the interviews that I've had. A couple of them are already, they have their audio, so you can hear the exact show. And then if you go on starswithazpsychics.com on the main, you'll see my interview with Deb Anderson. And that was a fun interview that I had with her. You know, she did cards, and we had the dashboard lighting up. And it was funny because I had no idea everybody was going to call. But I have a very special guest tonight. She's calling in from Honolulu. Yay! I don't know how many have ever been to Hawaii. I have not. My goddaughter got married there, though, but I didn't go. Anyways, I want to bring her in. She has one of the greatest backgrounds I have ever known, and you have to tip your hat to her for what she's done and how she's given of herself for her career. And she's written a book, and we will discuss that. But I want to bring in Roz Salazar. Roz, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing really, really good, and we're so honored to have you tonight. I was telling Roz that I'd like to have a variety of people on the show. You know, like she's from the real world, I should say. Not that everybody else isn't, but you know, you'll get authors that have written all kinds of books and all of that. She's got her first book out. We'll talk about that. But it's her career. It's what she chose. Now, you were in the Army National Guard, right, in Hawaii, correct?
Oh, no, I was active duty Air Force.
Oh, you were the Air Force. I wonder where we got this information. Oh, I don't know where we got this information from. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's 'cause I was deployed with the Army.
You were in the – oh, yeah, I see. You decided to enlist in the Air Force. I'm sorry. Yes. It was your two older brothers who were in the National Guard. You went into the Air Force. And it was really funny because Roz and I were just talking about I want to fly a plane. Well, no wonder you were kind of laughing and chuckling. You thought, oh, yes. I told her about my experience at the airport in Detroit. While my friends were playing with dolls, I was watching planes. And, you know, I don't know if that would ever happen. It would have to be some kind of a emergency thing where I'd have to fly. I could do it. I know I could do it. So, Roz is probably thinking, oh, I bet you she could. Yeah, I could. So tell me, Tell me about when you were young. I mean, you're young, but I mean, you know, little. I mean, did you always have aspirations to be in the service, to join something? I mean, how does a young lady decide to do this? I mean, so brave you are and so giving. That's a giving person that does that. Start us with your background, how you began, because this is your show, and we want to know all about how you came to be where you are right now. I want to know.
Okay, thank you. I was 4 years old. I grew up in a so-called dysfunctional family. My mom and dad was not married. My two brothers were in the Army National Guard. One day, they just stopped by to say hi to me and my sisters, and they weren't in normal clothes. And I asked them, "What are you wearing?" And they're like, "This is the Army uniform." And I knew then, I have to be like them. So they weren't
at your young age. You decided as a child that's what you wanted to do.
Yes.
Wow.
I haven't even started school yet, but it was different. They look sharp. They put their hat on,
quite
their cover on.
An impression. They gave you a great impression then when you saw them to want to do. Well,
yes.
You know, I mean, it takes a special person to do that, you know? You're very giving to do that. You gave of your time. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, the only thing that was on my mind was flying a plane, not joining the service. And my dad used to always say to me, well, you know, women weren't flying when I was really young at that age. They weren't flying at all. They were on the ground. You know, in a plane, you must be joking, right? And he said, well, I don't know how you're going to get up there. And I said, well, you know what? If God wants me to fly, I'm going to fly. And this was like between 8 and 9 years old, right? And
wow.
He said, well, if you join a branch of the service, it's not going to allow you to fly because you're a female. Well, that didn't sit right with me, right? So, of course, I never joined. Everybody said I would have been thrown out because I was really smart, like you. You were smart, too. I was really smart, and I knew a lot. I just didn't say a lot. But I thought, oh, well, okay, there goes that dream out the window. But no, you never know what life has in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you saw your brothers, and you thought, I'm going to do this when I get older, when I get big. I don't know if you even thought about older. Okay, so then what? You went to high school, right?
Yes, and the reason why I did want to join, long story short, is they're very playful, but in the uniform, they were a different person. Like, they respect the uniform. They can't be goofy. They had to be professional. So that's what sparked me. So all along, years went by. I never gave up that dream and hope of becoming, join the military. And then high school came. Fast forward, high school. I told my dad and mom about it, and my mom was all for it. My dad said no. Well, my dad passed away, and my mom got into an accident, so I stayed back, but I eventually enlisted. My dream was to become an officer, a pilot. It wasn't in the cards for me, so I enlisted, went through basic training, went to my first base in Grand Forks Air Force Base, North Dakota, as a cargo movement apprentice, where we packed boxes, we dealt with the members' household goods. So I actually packed boxes with tape, and I thought packing boxes was simple, but there was a regulation that we had to follow. The tape had to be this long, this much over. The box couldn't be heavier. Yeah, we actually went to technical school.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, and then I built crates, and then fast forward, I deployed to Saudi Arabia, booking airline tickets for the members. So I went from cargo to booking airline tickets. Yes. bringing them airmen in and bringing them back home, booking them airline tickets. And then it was then I said, I think I have to, I'm I wasn't content. I wanted more. So I finished up my degree in 2.5 years, in the first 2.5 years that I was in the Air Force, and then I applied to become an officer. And unfortunately, I did not pass the Air Force officer's qualification test, the Air Force test to become an officer. I took it again. I didn't pass, but because of my whole person concept, eval, they waived it. So I came back to Hawaii, did a one-year officer training program, and I was on my way to my first base as a second lieutenant.
Wow. I was cheering in the background for you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Oh my. You were determined, though, weren't you, Roz? You knew you had a plan. You had a plan, and you knew, and nothing was going to stop you. You were just meant to do it, that's all.
Yes, okay, so you went, sure was. And,
Go ahead, continue.
Oh, no. I went to my first base, which is Moody Air Force Base in Georgia. And rewind a little, I wanted to be an officer, but my physical didn't allow me to. So they kept me. I still stayed in as an officer, but I commissioned as a communications officer, meaning like IT, information technology. So I did that for 3 years as an officer. And then somewhere in between, while a comm officer, I deployed to Balad Air Base, Iraq.
You were in Iraq?
Yes, I was in Iraq. And believe it or not, that was like a actual pleasant deployment. Saudi Arabia was a little rough, but pleasant compared to my last deployment, Afghanistan. And in Iraq, we had incoming. That's the first I ever saw rockets in the air, explosions, and all the gruesome stuff, you know? So that was my first taste of PTSD. But I was still functional. And at the time, back in 2002-2003, that's when I was in Iraq, there was no such thing as PTSD. So we came back, and I came back to my base, Moody Air Force Base, Georgia, went on with my business, back to work, but something wasn't right. I just felt different. Because once you see those actions, war actions, you'll never see life the same. You value life more.
I've never seen anything, but I can imagine. I have a neighbor who's a retired Marine, and he was in Vietnam. And I remember he said to me one day, he said, I did things that I don't even want to tell people. And he has trouble. I mean, he's been retired a long time because then he went to the post office, but he would tell me a few little stories, and then I had another friend that was in the Marines also. And, you know, they had things in their head that was really hard, I mean, to place them, he said. Like, you know, he said, I've got all these things that I'm remembering, flashbacks. And he said, to function in the United States like everybody else was really difficult. And he said, I did well. And you know, you can talk about this. He said, but I did well, but there were some who still haven't done well. And that's why I bow to you, because what you did is amazing. And then you went on. I mean, and now you've got all this education behind you. And you've written a book. To me, that's success. To me, that is success. Okay, so you came back. And then what'd you do? After you were in these countries and you went back to your base, then what? What happened?
Yes, so back on U.S. soil, I didn't have that much longer. 4 months later, I did a permanent change of station to Scott Air Force Base, Illinois. And I wasn't there for a year. At about my 8 month mark, I got orders to do a 365-day temporary duty, pretty much deployment, we call it deployment, to Afghanistan. And I was in the coast of Afghanistan, which is 30 miles from the Pakistan border. So, and I was there for a year, and this deployment is where I saw the best and the worst, I say, for my military career, but also life. That's the best and worst experiences. The best experience, I'll go with the good first. The best, because I got to come home. The worst,
you came home in one
everything
piece.
You can't
right.
imagine. Yes.
No, I can't. You were in one piece.
And
not everybody came back like you.
Yes, and I'm very fortunate. I thank God for that. However, you know, this is, like I said, the worst. And life is just not the same. It made me appreciate more. We have homes. We have cell phones. The things we have here at our daily lives. There, you know, the villagers, they built their homes with mud. You know, they don't eat off of plates like we do. They just grab a cardboard from the trash and they serve
food. And put something
on
it and eat from that, right? Whatever they can, or hold it in their hands. That's about all they can do, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's when, again, I'm like, man, I have a whole new level of respect for them. Life, just life itself. That's all they know. That's their culture. That's all they know. But life, I just valued life more. And then, you know, of course, we've seen things. We did things like your Marine, that person, the Marine you're talking about, like we
right.
really can't talk about. And
right. Oh, yes. Yeah. There's
really
things he's never said. You know, he told me one day he had to pick me up and because my neighbor, his wife was working, and he said there are things that nobody knows what I had to do, and you
yes.
can see it in his eyes. I don't know if you know others, but he's a very strong-willed man, and he's very, very much of the United States of America. Flags are yes. out. He's always telling, well, you know, because I love planes. He's, you know what? The planes are going to be flying at 12. You better get out there. So he's always telling me because we're by some bases here, some Marine bases, and because I'm in South Carolina, we're Parris Island. And so they fly, you know, and so he sent his wife, go tell her the planes are flying. She's going to miss it and she's going to be upset. And, you know, it was so much fun, but you could see how he is. You don't ever, first of all, he values life like you. You don't ever threaten anyone. And he's told me, because I'm alone, he said, somebody comes to your door, you call me, I'm coming right over. I mean, that's how he is, strong willed. He's not a very real big man, but he's mighty, you know. He said, you call me, right, don't, and then call the cops. You call me first, because he's right next door with his wife and family. And he said, I'm serious. You always remember, you call me first. And that's
wow.
no joke with him. That's no joke with him. So, you know, it makes you feel, now I'm giving you my version, it makes you feel very protected because you have somebody who is so honorable and, you know, he's not going to see any lives taken here. He saw enough. He just, you know, and it's
yeah.
really nice. It's nice to have him next door, but I can't imagine. I mean, we're all listening, and we can say, oh, yeah, I have an idea. No, you don't have an idea. You don't
mm-hmm.
have an idea. Like, you know, you saw it. So
yeah.
out of the countries that you were in, Afghanistan was the worst and the best? Is that what you're saying? Or you were in Saudi, right?
Yes. Each were different. Now, the deployment itself, the experience, I had the best experiences because I met new people. I just look at life differently. Even our own, we can't trust our own. I'm a female, and I think that gives you more of an idea of what I'm talking about. We can't
trust
our own.
Yep, okay.
But there are some good people out there that I would go to war with any day. If they asked me, do you want to go back, you know, I would go in the heart. I would drop everything in a heartbeat. I love my kids, but this is where it's different. People would think I'm crazy talking about, you know, leaving my kids with family, go back to war. It's just that itch, you know, you never get over it. We were glad to come back, but I wasn't glad to come back. It's like that's for a year, that's what we were molded to become, just these fighters. Of course, every day, you know, we were determined to come home, come back home, you know, one day closer to being back home with our families. But it's just something about the experience. You know, we got attacked. We got attacked from 9 p.m. to 3 p.m., stayed under the bunkers. We were scared, you know, and then we had our troops go out to try and find where the Taliban were shooting from. It's just the whole experience.
How were you treated as a female? I mean, did the men kind of, well, the Marine next door, his daughter was going to go in the Army, and she had a terrible experience. I mean, they wouldn't take her because she was overweight. And then I had this other friend. She tried to get in, and they threw her off of a truck. The guys threw her off of a truck. This was quite a few years ago. I'm hoping things have changed. They did not want her. Now, I don't know what kind of a person she was with them. You know, some women are know-it-alls, and some women have big mouths, and some, you know, I don't know. But she ended up breaking her leg. Of course, she got out. They did not want her. But that could have been a platoon? That could have been the group, that particular group. But how were you treated? Were you treated better when you were in another country as opposed to being stateside?
Well, I can't say I'm treated better because stateside, it's like a company, you know, any other business. We have a job to do. But on a deployment, we do the job and we're at war. So
yeah.
We have to constantly be alert. And as a female, they like having a female because that's what they like looking at. Like for me, there were only five of us females, 5 to 7 at any given time. 200
wow.
men.
Oh, yeah.
5 to 7 women. So one, they liked having us around, but we were also kind of the burden because me as an Air Force officer, I'm not infantry. We ended up being deployed with the Army because pretty much we were on loan because they were short. So we did our training, but still our mindset is not infantry. But I did go out. I did go out on battlefield circulation. I was the lead driver of an MRAP for the camp chief. A female officer was the lead driver for the most part. And then I had my supply team that I drove for. So that's what made this deployment a special one, the best experience, but yet the worst. Now, the men, I had this boss, which I couldn't go, I can't go into details, but
no.
he liked me, I didn't like him back. Got possessive,
mm-hmm.
obsessed with me. So he tried to get his way.
That made it probably very difficult for you.
Yes, it's because even though he didn't get his way 100%, everyone didn't have base, and he said anything can happen in this blackout base. So we were all scared. I stopped talking to everyone. They stopped talking to me. I was stuck with this boss.
Oh.
And one wrong move, I could die, not from an attack or on a convoy.
Yeah, oops, there's a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry, you slipped and fell and hit your head.
Yes, yes. So I lived like that for a year, and it was, it took me, see, I was deployed from 2008, came back to, in 2009. So December 2008, a Christmas day, I arrived, and we got back in December, late December, on U.S. soil. And so that's 11 years ago, almost 11 years ago. It took me
this
long.
But it's still with you. It's still with you.
Yes. I still have triggers. I still have flashbacks. Not as bad. And I'm out like an up arrow. I have my down days where I can't function. Whenever I see a certain nationality, I start sweating.
Yeah, because it brings back to what you had to experience. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, those are triggers, yeah. I mean, you're amazing. First of all, amazing because you were a female that went over there. I mean, of course, you were stuck. You got orders, you had to go. But still, what you had to endure, that, you know, I'm sorry for that, for you. I really am. But I think it's always been that way, and it will always be that way. Now, maybe there's more women in the military. I mean, when there's, you know, when you don't have too many, and you have mostly men, like you said, 200 and just five or six of you or whatever, that's not good odds at all, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And if some of them are higher in rank,
there were three of us officers. No, I was like, I was a captain, an O3 at the time, and there were two female enlisted, so an E4 and E5. There were our medics, and then there was two Navy person, both of them female. So I was kind of in the middle, but
okay.
The officers slept in their B hut, and the enlisted slept in their B hut. And being that we're officers, we had to hold a certain image. So,
yeah. And you needed respect, but it was probably difficult for some men that were not where you were. I mean, do you think it's changed at all, Roz? Do you think it's gotten any better?
No, not at all. Back then, rank was not a rank. It doesn't matter if you're an O5 or an E2. We had O4s gunning and the E2s driving. You had an O3, which is me, driving, and then we have an O4 gunning. So rank was just out of the picture. Unless you're
That's what my neighbor was. He was a gunny. That's what he was. And
yeah.
I have to tell you this only because you've been in the military. Well, they had this party, and he brought in all of his buddies that he could get together to come over, you know, to come to the house. Well, he invited me over. You know, I mean, I'm pretty good friends with his wife, and it was great. Well, I had the best time because most of them, they worked on airplanes. And Tony said to me, oh, my God, did you set this up or what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they told me all these stories. I mean, I sat and listened for hours, and they were so, but you see, these guys had retired a long time ago. They were so respectful of me, of course. I mean, I was just a female woman. That's all that, you know, came over to listen to their stories, and they loved telling them, but it was amazing. I mean, that's all, and Tony said, I don't even know why I'm here. All we're doing is talking about planes, and I said, yeah, I kind of set the tempo, didn't I? Because all I had to do was find out one who worked on planes. Oh, my ears perked up, and I must have asked a million questions. And then I told them what it was like when I was a little girl. They said, well, you really got away with some stuff. I said, well, I'll tell you, they liked me, that's why. I was really cute. I was little. And I was charming. And I wasn't a brat. And I said, I think that's why. And if I missed a Saturday, if my dad and I didn't go, like if he had to work or something, oh, they asked the next day, well, where were you? How come you didn't come last week? I mean, they really asked for me. I mean, it's this cute little girl walking around like she owned the place, but she didn't.
Oh.
I had the best time, you know. And but anyway, so that's just a little story to tell you because you can appreciate that. So
Yes.
You say that you would leave and go back in a heartbeat. Do you? Is it because you would be there for your country?
Yes.
To defend? That's what it is, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's an ongoing war, and we got a taste of it. We know. It just gives us a new level of respect for life and higher value. And
yeah.
Because these people are attacking, we want to defend us. That's,
you want to defend the land that you're on. Right. Right. Defend. Yeah.
We're there for a reason, and we're going to serve our purpose there. And it's just, we value life, and before
sure
they come
do.
And attack us here at our home country, we need to stop them. That's the mentality we have.
That's the key. People don't understand that. You have to protect the United States. So that means sending people over to where they need to be to take a stand. And kind of, but it's got to be really difficult. Now, I'm just going to ask you a million questions. Was the base pretty good size that you were on? Roz, did I lose you? Roz, I lost her? Yeah, I lost her. Okay, we'll wait for her to come back. Anyways, you can hear all the questions that I have here. It's, just million questions, but how much respect? Oh, here she is. She's back. Here, hold on a minute. She's back. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I lost you. But anyways, I was just saying
I'm
to
here.
Everybody all the respect that we must have for those who are in other countries. And I started to ask, was the base that you were on big? Was it a big base? Well, it had to be for 200, right? A small one.
No.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
It's small. It's small, like a tiny mall. Let's see. Yeah, it's really small compared to the other big bases. There's only 200 of us. Most bases have at least, like Bagram Air Base, there's 10,000.
Oh.
See. Yeah, because everywhere is like a 10-foot walk. That's it.
Wow.
You look everywhere and you see everyone.
Yeah, 200, when you think about it, 200 is not that many when you're thinking of 10,000 on a base. Oh, my God. Like, I don't know what's on Ferris Island here. We have two bases here, actually. But I have to tell you this. I'm going to interject something to you, and then I have other questions, of course. My friend next door took me to Paris, to the base on Paris Island, and I'd never been to one, okay? And she said, come on, you got to go. And I said, okay, I'll go. I got out of the car, and I started walking around, and I stopped. And she said, what's wrong? I said, at this moment, I feel so proud. She looked at me. Now, remember, she lived in Ireland, and she went all over with him, right, with her family. So this was easy stuff for her. And she said, really? I said, yes. And it was the day of graduation. So I got to see all of these that graduated, and we went to the commissary. We saw all of these graduates and their families, and it was a wonderful experience. I was not disappointed once. And I must have asked her a lot of questions. Well, how did you get this, and how did you do that, And she said, I've taken people on the base before. They've never said that. I said, I just feel really proud. I'm telling you right now, it's like I'm on hallowed ground.
Aww.
Isn't that nice? That should make you feel good.
Yes.
That's how much respect I have for you and all of them. But to see all of these men and women graduating, oh, what a thrill that was. She said a lot of them go in now. They get a good education. What her husband does now is he goes and he gives talks to those that are going to graduate to give them kind of the real story. They can ask him questions, what was it like and all of that. And they love him. Oh, I can imagine the talks that he gives. He's really good at it. And they always love him. They always want him to do that with the – they graduate on a Thursday all the time. And, I mean, it was just the most wonderful experience. It really, really is. And if – some people would not feel like I did, but I was just – I was like flying. Consider the pun. I was flying.
Wow.
Because it made me feel so proud that I – was amongst all of these soon-to-be soldiers, soon-to-be going wherever, everywhere, all over the United States and then wherever else. And, I mean, I was just so honored. I really was. And she came home and she told her husband, she told Tony, he said, well, that doesn't surprise me about her at all. And I said, well, it's just how, you know, and I never had any of that when I was a little girl, except going on the base. That's all I did. I mean, and that was just it was Detroit Metropolitan Airport. That was just where they had the two-seaters, like I said, and the jets were there, and they did all the fixing of the planes. It wasn't commercial stuff. So it was like a behind-the-scenes. That's probably why I was so enthralled. So Tony said to me, well, I know where you would want to go. I said, just put me in front of a plane somewhere, yeah. But for you to do this, it's just, I can't tell you enough what an honor it is to have you on my show. I just cannot tell you enough. How proud.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Thank
okay, so
you.
So you get back. Now, then what happened with you? You, Candy's got a question. She said, do you participate in any kind of personal one-on-one or group situations to help other veterans transition back into society? Do you help any group or anything?
Well, I do plan to start attending more groups at the VA and maybe at other organizations, because sometimes women just don't feel comfortable being seen at the VA or anyone.
Right.
Any vet.
They
don't want to be seen at the VA because it's a stigma, you know. But I do plan on serving, you know, helping those who need help at the church and also at the VA, you know, sitting in groups. I've been sharing my experience. And then since I've been in therapy for 10 years, 10 plus years, I told my speech pathologist that I don't mind facilitating a group. So I'm going to start doing that. I'm completing little one or two more trainings to get certified to do all those.
Right, right.
Yes.
But I would think that you know, if somebody's coming back, maybe, I don't know how old they would be, maybe still younger than you, older than you, I don't know. But I guess being a female, for a man to come and say, well, I want to talk to you about what happened to you, and I want somebody that understands what happened to me. I mean, does that often happen, or is it just female to female? Because I would imagine what you faced is a little bit different than what they faced. And usually, I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking. I mean, is it that way?
Well, I always ask for a female to begin with. Because I had problems with men, I still do, not as bad. I wasn't comfortable. First therapist in Afghanistan, he was a male. And when I first told my story, he looked at me like, oh, here we go again. But after I started telling him more, he sat back and started feeling uncomfortable. And then he realized, oh, my gosh, this girl is not lying. He actually told me that.
Oh, yeah,
I
he would hear
he
all kinds of stories from other females like, oh, yeah, this happened. Oh, yeah, and there are, I'm sure, there are those who make up stories.
Yes, and this man, because of the things I said and I guess my demeanor, so he
right.
kept me
yep.
there for two
he knew.
Weeks.
He knew.
Yes.
He knew you were not talking off to the deep end, and Now she's got something else. See, Candy knows you, that's why. She says, have you ever worked with Bridging the Gap of Georgia? I don't even know what that is. Candy, you have to explain. She's listening, so she can answer. You know what that is,
okay.
Roz?
No.
Okay, Roz doesn't know what that is, Candy. So, they help veterans transition back into society. Oh, okay. But you're in Hawaii. This is in Georgia.
Yes, I do. I still have ties to some of the organized the squadrons in Georgia. I actually have a friend there who's public affairs. So I've been telling her, you know, we've been in touch. And then I still have ties with Scott Air Force Base. And I actually work here on base. And I've been leaving books here and there at the clinics, giving them to speech pathologists. You know, I've been leaving my books here and there, giving it to people who I feel need it.
Right.
Because it's still hard for me to just go up to someone. It's just difficult. It's never the same. And I'm going to gear off a little bit. When we left Afghanistan, I was able to come home, be stationed here in Hawaii because of my condition. And then the Air Force found me unfit. So that's like one of the worst things in my life is getting out, not by my choice. I was forced out, medically retired, because of my mental condition. I wasn't functional. I couldn't speak very well. I would stutter because of the head injury and other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my. But look at you now. How long have you been out?
I've been medically retired since 2012.
Okay.
8 years.
All right.
Over 8 years.
Well, you've come a great ways. Really? Really? How impressive. No, you're just impressive to me. And then now, let's talk. You have two children, you told me. Now, is all of your family in Honolulu? And if I ever get there, I'm going to come and see you. That's a given.
Oh, yes.
So I can give you a big hug.
Yes,
yes,
I would love that. I would love to meet you.
I know. I can feel what you're like. You're just good people. You really, really are. Okay, so your whole family is in Honolulu?
Majority of them, my immediate family, my siblings, yes, we're all here.
Okay.
My mom passed away last year.
Sorry.
Yes, and, you know, looking back, I got medically retired. I was so unhappy. I was depressed. I just had a baby. But, you know, looking back now, I was brought here and got out of the military to take care of my mom because she just got sick shortly after I got here. I took care of her all the way up until she passed away. Her last breath last year. So that is, you know, from depression to more depression.
Oh, yes.
It's like I had a circus.
Yeah, circus of horrors.
Yes.
Horrors.
Yeah.
Just now, is your father still living?
Oh, my father passed away in 1995 when I was 18 years old.
Oh, okay. So you really never got to know him?
No.
No, but you certainly turned out well. You turned out well.
Yeah, because he taught me well, though. Like, he taught me and my siblings well. He had his own business, and we worked with him. We all started at 5 years old. We learned how to drive the forklift, tractor trailers, which is why being in the Air Force was
Were you on a farm?
No. He just had a shop. He maintains vehicles, but he taught us to drive tractor trailers. And
how cool is that?
To do that, yes. He yelled at me, yelled at all of us. So basic training was a breeze for me. Yes. So
he instilled some good things in you right in the very early stages of your life.
Yeah, you know, back then you didn't understand why. Now I do.
Now you do. It was laying the foundation for you. It was a foundation. Now, what did your brothers think of you joining up? I mean, were they happy? Were they, what did your family think?
My mom was all for it because at the time she didn't know what the military was about.
Yeah.
She's from the Philippines. She was barely spoke English. All she thought about was, I don't have money to send you to college, so please go. And I sent her back money and stuff. And for my brothers, they were happy for me, but scared for me at the same time. Because
yes,
of the
they
man.
Knew. They knew. Oh, what is she going to be faced with? Yeah.
Now, when I retired, they told me that they were so proud of me, that my father would have been proud of me, and they just kept telling me, you're strong. Dad did good. Well, I said, my mom did better. Because she raised me.
You have good stuff, is what they say. You know, you're made from good stuff. And your father laid the foundation. And then, of course, I'm sure your mother helped along the way. But it was your brothers.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, a little kid, and you're looking at your brothers, and they've got this uniform on, and you're thinking, I want to do what you're doing. I want to wear what you're wearing. How cute is that? I love it. So you have them to thank for all this.
I'm
going to
be like you.
I said you have them to thank for it because they showed you what it would be like. And you liked it. You saw something.
Yeah.
It was like a little trigger, like, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do, and now I know it. Now, when I was a little girl, I had no clue. All I knew was every Saturday I went to the airport, and my friends drove me crazy because they just didn't get it. And so I guess, you know, I was just made a little differently. And what do you want to go watch planes for? I said, well, what do you want to play with dolls for? That's what I would say to them, Roz. You're at home playing with these little dolls that don't mean anything. They pretend. I'm going to watch something that's real. It's real. And I loved every Saturday for that. That's what I did. Unless it was pouring rain or snowing or something, of course, because I was in Michigan. And, it was wonderful. But you see, it just tells you what happens when you're little and you get these impressions. You're impressionable. So you see and you hear, and sometimes it makes you feel like, oh, well, maybe I want to do that. I don't know. I knew somebody that worked at one of the newspapers. She was actually a distant relative, and we went to see her this one afternoon. And she was talking about working at the paper. That's when they had a lot of newspapers. Detroit had three of them. And I sat there and I thought, maybe I should go do that. I was open to anything at that time. I was just a ball of fire. I can do that. But look what I'm doing. I had no idea.
You're doing the best. Yes, this is the best.
Well,
job. I wish I
you
could
know
be
it's
in your
to, it's
shoes.
To bring people like you to hear people like you. It's a wonderful thing. The gal who does my content work was in the Army, and she tells me these stories about these generals that she worked for. But I'll tell you, she is like, her name is Jackie. Jackie, I need this. Can you, 5 minutes, I have it. She has to write something.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because she was trained, you see. She was very efficient, and she's still like that. She's still like that, you know. So she had, you know, but then, I mean, when she was in the Army, it was like nothing for women. I mean, she had to be in an office. I mean, they put you away somewhere. They don't want you to be out in front. They don't want anything with you. I mean, she's older than I am. So she said it wasn't fun. But she said if you got somebody great to work for, you had it made in the shade, she said. It was like, I could get anything done. I could get anything in the office. I could do anything. I did all these big, huge parties, these balls. I had to put those together. Oh, yeah. She tells me all these stories. It was so much fun. So much fun to listen to her. She's something else. But, okay, so now what kind of work are you doing now? Are you working?
I started back up 2015, the voc rehab, the VA. Sent me to paralegal school. So I worked at the law firm for about 4 months, but my mom's health declined. So I stopped work until, like I said, she passed away. Then I'm back. I started up September, a year ago today, actually. Wow. As a budget analyst. Yeah, I'm a budget analyst. Nothing that I did before, but it's budget. You know, I figured it out. And then I just started a new position. I'm working for the Navy now. I started a new position 3 weeks ago.
You're working for the Navy? How wonderful!
Yes, I started working for the Navy a year ago today, and then moved position 3 weeks ago. And now I order food for the transition ships who come through Pearl Harbor.
Oh, so I have a friend.
Yeah.
Actually, I saved her life. She would say that, but she works for the Navy. She was never in the Navy, and I forget what she does. But she's in Pensacola. She's right where they were hit with all this rain.
Oh.
She's there, and she loves it. She's treated like a little queen. She said.
Oh.
But you can see how my life is intertwined with people in the service next door, and then I've got Jackie, and then I've got little Susie, and that's how it's been. But now let's talk a little bit about your book, Making a Smooth Transition After the Military, Create Yourself a Wonderful Civilian Life. That's the name of it, and it is on Amazon. When did you decide you wanted to write all of your experiences in a book to help others?
You know, honestly, one morning in February of this year, I just woke up, and I was angry at my previous boss, which is the boss back in February, because he reminded me of the boss who was in Afghanistan who mistreated me. So because I was angry at this civilian boss here, I just wrote the book in 3 days.
You're kidding.
3 days. It's watered down. The editors helped me. I had to take out the curse words, the gruesome details. But I was, because I guess this was my outlet, and I want people to know that there is hope after a miserable experience in the military. This book was my outlet, and it was a way for me to get the word out there, praying therapy. We have to just do it. That was my message. When I first got out, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to take care of my 1-month-old. I just felt like giving up, run away in the forest and just hide from everybody. But my therapist helped me. She was very patient. So she taught me mindfulness. She was very, very patient to where I'm at today, and I thank her for it. But there is hope. I'm proof. That was why I
You are, and you've come a great ways, and you stand tall. You don't look like you're very big. How tall are you?
I'm 5'3½".
Okay, I'm 5'2". I knew it. I knew you weren't very big.
Yeah, I'm little, shorty.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're little. My neighbor calls me, "Oh, you're just like a little fairy," she says. I said, "I'm not a fairy."
Aww.
She says, "Yeah, you're like this little fairy with these beautiful wings that glisten." Okay, I said, "I'll be that." I said, "You just want me to fly around." She says, "You've always wanted to fly around." So there you go. But so this book, it says here, because I'm on Amazon, you don't have a website, do you?
No, I'm working on it.
Okay, good.
I'm still working on it. It should be out maybe next week.
Okay. You'll have to send me that so that we can put it. Now, tomorrow in my blog, I'll write about the interview, and I'll give a link back to the show. And I'm sure Jackie's going to listen to it. She might be listening now. I don't know. But I think she will be nodding her head and saying, oh, yes, but you had it much worse, I think, than her, because you had to go to another country with all these men who had attitudes like that. Well, what is this? Who is this? And why? Is it strange? And you said it's not any better. Do you think it's any worse for a woman to be in the service now? Or is it just the same?
I was told it's better, but I don't believe it, because one of my basic training friends, her daughter is in, and it's still, they sweep all these sexual harassment, military
right.
sexual trauma, they still sweep it under the rug.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just, it's sad, isn't it? And it's sad.
Very
you know, I have
sad.
To tell, my son always says to me, Mother, men are pigs. That's what he says.
Yeah.
They're pigs. I said, you're telling me you're a pig? He said, I was. I was not. He's married now, happily, you know, a long time. My granddaughter is 16 and just, you know, the best son you could ever ask for. But we laugh and we talk because he comes over as much as he can. And we'll talk about things and I'll say, Mother, men are just pigs. Let's just face it. They're pigs. But obviously, it doesn't change when you're in the military. Now, and it's just, and it's sad that you had to go through that, but you wrote about it. You have this book out. This is you. You are talking. You are not afraid at all. And I'm just so thrilled that you came on the show. Thank you, Candy. This was Candy's idea. You know, she says you got to interview her. Yeah, this was Candy's idea. I remember her talking about you. And, you know, she just thought that you would make a great guest, and you have made a great guest. And I want everybody to know that Roz has a book on Amazon called Making a Smooth Transition After the Military, Create Yourself a Wonderful Civilian Life. By Rosalind, I love your name. Pagala, is that what it is? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Pagala.
Salazar. And we just call her Roz. She's Roz to me.
Yes.
And, you know, go take a little look at her book. And she's going to have a website out. And as soon as she gets that, I'll add it to my blog. We'll put that back in again so that you can... you can check that out. We have quite a few people here in our chat room. Thank you, everybody. Ashley and an internet friend and Jess and Kid Cat and Mississippi Mike. Don't you love it? I love it. All these people. And this is a lady here who endured quite a bit. And, you know, when I was really young, I was really shy. I know it's hard to believe that. People say, you were shy, listen to you on the radio. Well, I was. I was very quiet and very shy. But I wasn't dumb. I was really smart. And I think that's why I was quiet. I didn't want anybody to know what I knew. Because, you know, when you're a little girl, you want to go to parties and you want the boys to think you're pretty and all of that. And I just shut up. I didn't say a word. But... for you to go there and in these countries is amazing, and be right on the line of fire like that. I can't wait to meet you. I really hope one day I can. I hope one day I can.
We'll make that our goal.
That's a goal. And I'm not going to say bucket list because. Oh, no, I've got another 20 years. Man, no bucket list for me. No. I don't do that. Another place I want to go is I want to go to Africa. And I have this thing about animals, too. And I mean, I'm sure all of us have these dreams, places that we want to go. And I would, you know, my goddaughter got married there, and she'd tell me all about it. I don't know where she got married at. I'll have to find out, and I'll write it, and I'll tell you. Because she texts me. She's back in Michigan, and she texts me every day. Her mother was my best friend, and she passed away. And I'll tell you, and you're going to appreciate this, my son and I flew back to Detroit on a Saturday in the morning, went right to her house because she was home. And I had a mission. I was on a mission, Roz. I went there to hold her. And I was there like you were with your mom when she took her last breath. I held her. I held her, and my son held me. Her daughter wasn't there. Her husband wasn't there. Just me and my son. And, you know, she always said to me, you know, I'm not going to worry about my daughter. And I said, why? And she said, because she'll always have you. And that was one of the best things anybody could have ever said to me. And so we went on a Saturday. We came back. We were there 36 hours. That's all we were there for. That's the only reason I went there. I didn't want to be there later on. I wanted to be there so I could be with her. And I did it also for my goddaughter, you know. But yeah, she was my friend since sixth grade. And we have a lot of people on the line here. What's going on? Let's see. Lots of people, because they know we have Mr. Sparkles. So hello, everybody. Mm-hmm. I have Ashley. I don't know if some of these people want to ask you a question. They might be military, Roz. You want to answer some questions?
Wow. Yes, sure.
Okay, let's take a caller. Let's take a caller. Okay, I'm going to take this caller down here. Hi, you're live on the air with Roz. You have a question for her? This is Natalie.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could do a psychic reading on me. Is that what we're doing?
This is not about readings. Roz was in the service, and we're talking about transition, a smooth transition after the military. So no. No readings tonight. No, I'm sorry. But you can go to starswithazpsychics.com and get one.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay? But thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
Okay, you want to do a psychic reading? Yeah, oh, sure, I can do that. Okay, here. I got all these 111s, and that means they could be on Skype. They could be calling from another country. So I'm going to take another one. Hold on, Roz. Might as well. Okay. We have time.
Yes.
Hi, you're live on the air. This is Natalie. Did you have a question for Roz?
Hi, Natalie. Am I live on the air? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're live. What's your name?
Oh, okay. Hi. Yeah, my name is Mike, and my brother's an Army veteran. Served in Iraq, a couple tours, and but he's my older brother by a couple years, but he's always gotten away with everything. And he came home from Iraq, and he broke the laws, committed some crimes, and the court has always been lenient on him. He gets away with everything.
Because he was in the service, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it makes me mad because he does all these things and he always gets away with it. And I'm sick of it. And it's caused a problem between us. And, you know, he thinks he's in the greatest shape in the world. I can do, you know, I can run 10 miles. I can do cuck push-ups. I can, you know, lift weights all day. And, you know, he just has this attitude. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the whole I'm a tough guy military thing that, you know, he thinks he can just run around because he can lift bench press 350 pounds, do cock push-ups and all these crazy things that he and he can get away with everything that he thinks he's better than everybody else.
So you want to know how to handle it. Raz, you got any advice for him?
Yes, I it's because of the leadership. The guys who did this to me as well, they got away with it. I ended up getting forced out. They got to stay in, but I can tell you what, it'll catch up to him. It will catch up to him. it will. One of the guys who did me wrong ended up in China, got in trouble in China, and for 10 years he got away with it. And I don't wish that on your brother, but on it, I believe that he has some underlying, you know, issues, and he's using that to cover up.
Yeah. And, you know, now he's gained all this weight. He goes to this Centopio's pizza. He eats a large pizza every night. He's gained all this weight. He's got two cats. He's abusive to the cats. He's joined somewhat of a biker gang, I think. And, you know, they do the leather daddy night where they're, I think they are cross-dressers because it's one of those bars where all the guys wear leather. They call themselves the leather daddies and they're into the attachments and the toys. And the, I don't know what the hell he's gotten into, but he's out of his stinking mind. Okay. So
Sounds like he needs help, doesn't it, Roz? It sounds like. He's just like off the deep end. Talk about post-traumatic stress. You know, he's just, don't you think so, Roz? What do you think?
I think that he has it, definitely. And from what you're telling me, I hate to say this, but he would have to hit rock bottom to realize what's ahead of him and what he's doing to everyone. He doesn't realize what he's doing. He doesn't. But he has to be willing to get the help. And right now, he's not there. He's not there yet.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to give up on him.
I'm going through this.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's maybe a question of growing up, having a little bit more maturity, and I'm not going to give up on him. Maybe the VA can put him on some more meds. But anyway, Hal, thank you for taking my call. I hope
you're
you
welcome.
Can help many other people out there that need your help, and I'm going to listen to the show and can't wait to hear the next callers that and their stories. Thank you.
Yes, yes, and thank you for so much for calling in. It takes a lot to call in. A lot of people don't like to do it because, I mean, well, I don't know where you are. I'm not going to ask where you are, but you know, it's a and you have concern for your brother and true concern, and I heard it in your voice. That's really, really awesome. Don't give up on him. Don't. No. Never.
Yep.
Okay, thank you for calling, Mike.
Okay,
now let's see. I got another one. I didn't realize this, but I'm really happy as to what's going on here. This makes me feel so good. Hold on, Roz. Okay, hi there. This is Natalie. Who am I speaking with? You're live on the air with Roz. Do you have a question for her?
Yes. Hi, Natalie. Hi, Roz. This is Bill. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're awesome. We're so happy you called.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to call in. I'm actually a prior service member myself. I was in the Army, and I can kind of relate to the whole transitioning out and then especially transitioning into the, I hate to say it, the normal world, you know, non-military world. I mean, I can share stories for ages. One of my biggest problems, and I hate to say this, was probably, you know, I was in for 8 years, and a couple years ago I came out as a homosexual, and I know this is a sore subject, but I, you know, I'm very proud that the military now openly accepts it, because when I first joined, it was very frowned upon. And Raj, I'm sure you can remember the times of that when it wasn't allowed to be talked about. Very excited. I was very proud, you know, that I actually could be open and serve my country. You know, I was very proud of that. So being open in the military was very good for me, you know, because I made a lot of friends and, you know, we had a lot of fun. But once I came home, you know, and I lost contact with all of them, you know, my whole world changed. You know, my biggest problem is, you know, I'm so used to being around males and other large guys and everything. And now I come home. And I'm all alone, and it sucks to be all alone. You know, I'm so used to being able to go in the shower, and, you know, I'd get fucked by, like, six black guys at once, and it just doesn't happen anymore.
Okay, you got to watch your language on the show, please.
Oh, I apologize. I do apologize. It's just it's hard transitioning into the normal life, and I've been home now for probably about 6 months, and it's not the same, you know. Unfortunately, I can't get back in.
Are you getting any help at all?
Unfortunately, there is no help for me. I mean,
you don't have
some,
a VA there or anything?
I've been to many VA appointments, but they don't help. You know, they kind of, I hate to say it, a lot of VAs nowadays, if these veterans have problems, especially, you know, homosexual problems, they want nothing to do with you. They're kind of ashamed of you, and it kind of sucks nowadays. You know, me being a homosexual, you know, they kind of look down on me, even though I served my country 2 tours in Iraq. You know, they don't care about me anymore.
Are you in a big city? There has to be some places. I don't know, Roz. Do you have any suggestions at all?
Well, I can see where he's coming from. However, in Hawaii here, we're very, very diverse. We don't judge, and we do have some groups here in your situation. I listen to them. I share with them. My best friend was in your situation.
I'm in New York, and there's a lot of groups up here. There absolutely is. But like I said, it's even though being gay in the military is open now, it's still looked down upon. And these groups want nothing to do with you. They are not openly. They're not open to me. You know, this is 2020. It's okay to be gay. You know, if I like another male, if I want to blow him, that's my choice. I hate to say it. It's 2020, guys. Let's move on.
Well, I think you probably just need to find something that's going to give you an outlet. I'm kind of at a loss with all of it. I don't know, Ross, but I do wish you well. And don't give up on yourself, and you are what you are. And God made you the way you are.
I agree. I mean,
because you sound young to me. You don't sound very old. So I just think that you're going to find
the
way.
30s.
You're going to find. You're young.
I'm in my 30s.
You're younger than my son.
I'd like to keep in touch with you if you don't mind. If you ever get a hold of my book, you can keep in touch with me. I left my information in the back of the book, and maybe I can help point you out to a group that can help, because I sit in these groups.
These groups, are they open? Will they allow people like me in them?
You sound a lot of people like you. Yes, yes. You're not.
Yes.
You're not from our space. You know. So
you're not.
Just have to maintain. Yeah, maintain what you are and who you are. That's the way it is. Roz, is there any way that if he goes to Amazon, do you have anything on Amazon that he can reach you?
No, I don't, but...
Okay. All right. Well, then, listen, what you can do is you can email me, okay? Starscast, STARZ like in zebra, CAST like in Tom. Okay. At, you got
Tommy,
it?
Tommy, okay. Yep.
At,
he is in Tommy.
Okay.
At
Mystic, MYSTIC, Living.
Mystic.
LivingToday.com. Email me and I'll connect you with Russ.
MysticLivers.net, you said?
Mystic Living. LivingToday.com.
MrLiving.com.
Mystic. MYSTIC. Mystic.
Oh, Mystic. Okay, Mystic. Okay. I got it.
So
thank
you.
I
email.
Apologize. My connection.
No, don't worry. You email me and I'll connect you with Roz, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Yes,
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You
have a good
day. You too.
Okay, we've got a lot of other callers here, but I really think what we're going to do, Roz, is call it a night.
Uh-huh.
It's 9:15 here, and I'm very impressed. But everybody, you heard my – if you're listening and you've got things going on and you want to get a hold of Roz, which you can do, you can get a hold of Roz, email me at stars with a Z, cast, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at MysticLivingToday.com, and I will connect you with her. And but you could also go, her book is on Kindle, looks like to me, yes, Making a Smooth Transition After the Military, Create Yourself a Wonderful Civilian Life. It's there. Just look up Making a Smooth Transition, and you're going to find it. Just type in those few words, and you're going to find it. And it's there, and you can get it on Kindle. I'm sure. Yes, you can. So do that. And I want to thank everybody for calling in. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but what a wonderful evening. Roz, you're wonderful. You're a beautiful soul. And you know what I want you to do, Roz, is I'm going to email you send me an excerpt, because the magazine will be out October 1st. We'll discuss it in email. I'm going to ask you for an excerpt. And I wouldn't mind you writing periodically for the magazine, because it's obvious with all these callers that people out there need help. They need direction, and we've got to give them direction. That's all I can tell you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This must be, I'm gonna write this down. There you go. Yeah, she did it. Okay, Candy did it. I'll connect with you in the next few days, probably after the 20th. I'll write to you, and you can give me a little excerpt, or you can give me an article. Because it's really obvious tonight. You can tell, right? All these people are looking for help. And it doesn't matter what you are. You're one of God's children, period. And so everybody needs guidance. Everybody needs help. And I'm like on a high. I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight. Because I feel so good that we have helped some people, Roz.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Miss Candy and Miss Natalie. I'm so honored to be able to be on your show.
Oh, you give me goosebumps. We may just have you back after the new year sometime, okay? And Candy, now that Candy knows that there's a calling for this, okay, then she's going to push it out to get callers, because you're going through it. You know what it's like. And maybe there's some females out there who are out of the military and experience some crummy times, and they just need a little bit of encouragement. I don't know how to reach Pastor Veal, so you're going to have to connect me with that. Somebody wants me to get somebody else. I'm not booking until January now. I'm completely full. I've got people from everywhere. But, Roz, we're going to have you on again, okay?
Oh, yes. I'll be glad to. I'm honored.
And then, Candy... She's listening. Candy can push it out that we're going to take callers. Call in. You know, if you've got issues that you're out of the military and you're floundering around. But the big thing is that I'm sure you've got a lot of information in your book, Making a Smooth Transition After the Military, Create Yourself a Wonderful Civilian Life. And being in the military, we honor you, all of you that are listening, and we bow to you. You were willing to give of your life to fight for the United States of America. That, stand tall. I don't care who you are. Stand tall, because you deserve it. You deserve it. And I'm just really thrilled that we had such a wonderful thing. And the thing, too, I think, Roz, is these people need to learn. They need to find clubs to join. Do a Google search. You know, veterans that need help, just do a search. Type in, I use Google all the time. Type in whatever you want to ask a question of, and you'll get, say, I need help in the city that I'm in. Who do I go to? There's got to be groups. There's got to be, and they would love to have it. Okay, with that, I'm going to end the show. Thank you, Roz, so much. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much.
This was great, and thank you, Candy. Candy was handling this, the chat room, and oh my goodness, we had at one time 11 people in there, and
wow.
That's just it's a wonderful, yes, it tells me something that there's a calling for it, you know, people need help, they don't want to hear that you've got this successful book, and you're making all this money, they need help, and I'm honored, I'm just thrilled to do it, and so we'll have Rosalind back on
sometime after the new year, maybe February, March, something like that, and it'll be a good thing. Candy, thank you so much for all that you've done. You're wonderful, as always, with your magic fingers that you do all the marketing. And she's going to put this on YouTube, and maybe we can get her to do the video. Well, there's an audio that we're doing. Maybe she can do your next, because there's a calling for this. I mean, this just makes me feel so good. It's one of the reasons why I do what I do. It really, really is. And so you'll be able to read something Rosalind's going to submit. She can do as much as she wants in the magazine, and you'll be able to read about her and find her book. And it's a good thing. Candy said it's an honor. So anyways, I always end the show the same way, Roz, and I love you very much. I can tell you that on the air because I really do. You just filled my heart tonight. You really, really did.
But thank you. It means a lot.
And so I always end the show the same way. We're going to end this, and then we play some music after. But believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Goodnight, Roz. Talk to you soon. Well, you'll get my email tomorrow. Thank you, Candy. I love you, too. And we're gonna end the show with the music that we have. And I got to find it in this little scheme thing. It's called Free to Love, and you're going to love it. And we always end the show the same after I talk. So good night, everyone, and listen to the music, and I'll see you next week. It's going to be in the afternoon because my guest is in France. I don't really know what time, but I'm sure it's going to be in the afternoon. So take care, everyone. Just be who you are. God loves you, you know, always, always. Here we go with the music.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors. So get the chip off your shoulder.
good night.